Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say we've lost our minds. I don't care if they call us crazy. Run away to a world that we design. Cause every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be.
Well, I love that voice. I'm sure you love that voice. And maybe it even sounds familiar to you. You're wondering why. That is the gorgeous voice of Brandon James, who truly just captivated America when he was a finalist on the 2013 season of America's Got Talent. And since then, man, he's been everywhere and making it happen with a lot of changes. That includes a very important stint in our home city of Chicago. Joining me now is Brandon James, because he's got a new book to talk about. Hey, Brandon, good to connect with you.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I am good, and I trust you are doing well.
I am. Despite everything, doing very well. It's very nice to hear your voice again. It's been a couple of years now, hasn't it?
It has been a while since
I've seen you.
Yeah, and that's right, because I've known you for quite a while. You performed at the Auditorium Theater. I got to do a number with you, and to be honest, as I listened to your new CD, your new album, I was shocked that our duet wasn't on there, but we can talk about that some other time.
I should have called you for a guest appearance. You're not wrong about that. I apologize.
I love it. Hey, Brandon, so we want to talk about your new book, Lyrics of My Life, with a subtitle of My Journey with Family, HIV, and Reality TV, just coming out. And so, first of all, I just want to tie our listeners to Chicago. You used to sing at the Lyric. So before your career blew up, thanks to America's Got Talent, you were very well known here in Chicago. Talk about those years.
I was. I sang in the chorus at Lyric Opera Chicago. We did a bunch of small roles and covers there from 2010 to 2014. And it was such a wonderful place to live. You know, I never actually set foot in Chicago before I moved there. I was living in New York, singing at the Met, and kind of doing the New York City hustle for 10 years. And this job came up, and without even having ever been there, I was like, yes, I want to go there. And I'm so glad I did, because the people in Chicago just embraced me, and it's just such a warm, friendly, cultured city. I really do miss living there.
Well, and by the way, the song we opened up with coming in off your new CD, your new recording, it's called A Million Dreams. People know that from The Greatest Showman, but I selected that song because, of course, you've had a million dreams, and you've been living so many of them since America's Got Talent kind of put you on the map. But some people might say, okay, he's a great singer, incredible operatic voice, but he's also doing pop, theatrical music. Why do we need to have a book about his life? So tell us why it is people need to read. I've already read it, so I know why. Why should people read Lyrics of My Life?
Well, you know, I never really expected to write a book. It was never anything that I dreamt of or aspired to be. It's just something that kind of fell into my lap from having writing blogs from on my website. A couple of literary agents approached me about it. And, you know, when I started first telling my story about the struggles of faith and my family and my sexuality on America's Got Talent, and I saw the outpouring from young people especially who really could resonate with, and even people who told me that, you know, they saw me on TV and I gave them hope and it saved their life. And it made me want to tell more of my story and reveal more about what my struggles are and what we all go through, because I think there's a real opportunity to help people just simply by sharing part of yourself with someone that they wouldn't otherwise know.
So you grew up with a family who, you know, looked at, I mean, you are gay, so you've kind of intimated that, but we'll just put that out there. But, you know, having that as part of who you are as you were growing up was something your family found difficult to live with. You told some of the moments of that. on America's Got Talent. But talk about growing up in a very religious world where you couldn't be yourself, because as I read your book, clearly it's your story, but you really have a message for other people who might find themselves in a similar situation.
Yeah, and that's really what I wanted to accomplish in writing. It was kind of leave a roadmap for people who may be struggling with their own sexuality or their own HIV diagnosis. Because as we know, in the United States, we're much more tolerated than in other countries. And my heart goes out to people where it's illegal to be gay or, you know, I travel to some places where they don't let people in knowingly with HIV, and just living with that kind of fear is—it's really overwhelming. And I experienced a bit of that as a kid, but my struggles were not nearly as big as some other people's are. But I just feel like not enough people talk about it, and there's still a lot of shame and stigma around HIV/AIDS, and even around homosexuality around the world. And I really wanted to kind of just share my perspective about that in hopes to erase some of that.
So, and there you weave into that answer another question, of course, I wanted to bring up. You are HIV positive. That may be a surprise for a lot of people who read the book. But you talk about what it was like to go through the testing and the sexual experience that you believe took you there, and then having to live with it, and then having to break it to your family. I'm guessing in many ways, Brandon, that's even tougher than just dealing with the gay issue in your family.
It was. You know, I always describe when I found out that I was HIV positive in 2005, that it felt like I was going back into the closet. I had this whole new set of guilt and shame that was in many ways more intense than just dealing with my sexuality, that I felt that was just hovering over me like a dark cloud. And I was shunned even then by other people in the LGBTQ community who would just run the other way if I told them, well, I'm positive, because of the stigma that's attached to it. And it was a very lonely, solemn time, and I didn't always make the best choices in dealing with it, but I did what I could and what I thought was the best way to survive. And I'm just happy to be on the other side of it and to feel whole again.
What made you... this book had to be, what I really want to ask, this book had to be cathartic for you. I mean, unless there's something you haven't told us, and you can tell us now what it is you didn't put in the book, but you really put it all out there. It doesn't seem like you hide everything. And so while it's a lesson for people to learn about, I have a feeling you learned from it as well. And as I said, I feel like this was cathartic for you.
It certainly was. I wrote most of the book while I was traveling around the world in different countries. So on airplanes or in hotel room beds, I would just sit there in tears recalling these stories. And I wanted to do my best to really capture what I felt and what the room looked like and what color the walls were, and how lonely and painful it was for me to go through that experience by myself. There was another part of your question
you are
which
happy?
I didn't answer yet.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go for it.
Oh, no. I'm trying to remember what the part of the question was.
Oh, well, I asked him, I talked about it being cathartic for you. And was there anything you didn't tell us in this book? Because it seems like you laid everything out.
You know, I really wanted to be as honest and transparent and authentic as possible. I was really struggling with mental health actually after America's Got Talent. When I was voted off in the finals, the strangest thing happened. I felt like the least talented person ever. Like all the subliminal messages get into your head. This is the end of the road for you. All your dreams have been shattered. Like all that stuff felt real to me. And all of my friends said, Brandon, what are you thinking? You just look at this, what you've just accomplished. Like there were 10,000 people who auditioned and you made it to the end. But I didn't see it that way. So for me, it was important to really be honest with everyone else and with myself about what my story was. And it most certainly was cathartic. I feel a much lighter person having told the whole world all of those kind of things that I've been holding on to and been ashamed of for so many years.
And of course, a man comes into your life. You are married now. Your husband is James Clark, which actually I'm assuming you picked somebody with the name James, so it kind of played into your name. It was very good for the stage.
It was all James. Just coincidence.
Well, it could have been planned. But anyway, so I know how you guys met, whatever, but talk about, if you can, the meeting. And because I know you met him and you weren't sure this was the guy, and then all of a sudden you realized, I need to see this guy again.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear. He's downstairs playing cello at the moment as we speak. But yes, we met online in Los Angeles on a dating app. He was doing his master's in cello performance at the time, and I was living in L.A. And he was just about 16 miles from me. And we met and got to know each other very briefly for about 15 minutes. And then the next day I left for a tour. Kind of, I was in South Africa, I was in Iceland, I was in Europe for about 6 weeks, and we got to know each other over FaceTime and Facebook and texting, and it was really refreshing to do that, because oftentimes we rush into relationships, and this one, I really got to know who he was as a person before any of the dating and the courting and all that sort of stuff happened. And then when I flew home from South Africa, he picked me up from the airport holding one long stem red rose, and I was like, okay, you can stay. He was just such a gentleman, and it doesn't hurt that he plays the cello and has an Australian accent and all that sort of stuff too.
Yeah. Oh, that Australian accent is real? I thought he was making that up.
He probably is. He's probably got me fooled.
Okay. So how was he with this book? Obviously supportive, but you know, you're putting your truth out there and your past out there, and here is James, now your legal husband and all of that. Did was there anything where he looked and said, you know, Brandon, maybe we don't talk about that. Maybe let's not put that out there because now I'm part of your life.
Well, going back to what you said about maybe there's something I didn't put in the book that I could tell you now. Actually, I had desired to tell this entire story on America's Got Talent. And I did tell the producers, but in the end, I decided that it wasn't the right time to tell a story, and it was because my partner at the time was uncomfortable with me telling the story. And in hindsight, I wish I wouldn't have listened to him, and I wish I would have just followed my instinct, because I think potentially I could have reached a lot more people. But things come when they're supposed to, and James has been nothing but supportive of all of the intimate details that I've shared about myself. And, you know, I was concerned for him because knowing, like, his mom will read the book or maybe has read the book, and I was worried what she might think about me talking about things like, you know, past drug use and mistakes I made sexually and things like that. But I, for me, it was just very important. To be honest, I wanted to kind of lead by example and try and show people that if you're transparent and authentic, that people will actually applaud you for it. And that's something that I've found through all this, that as much as I feared being who I am, people actually commend me for it as opposed to judge me.
And we've all been living through this tough time with the coronavirus and all of that. And I your book was done before this moment, as I remember, but you both dealt with COVID-19, both positive. Did you have a tough struggle with it? And then, am I right, one of you actually tested positive or got it a second time?
So we did both test positive for COVID. We both had symptoms. James was worse than I was. He had a fever for 4 or 5 days and was really bedridden for a week and lost his taste and smell for about 3 weeks. I had a bad chesty cough and some flu-like symptoms, but it was more short-lived. When we went to get antibody tests, having figured that we had COVID, you know, maybe a month or 6 weeks after our initial symptoms, we both tested positive for antibodies, and at the time, the CDC was recommending that we get another COVID test, and James' test came back positive again. So we called the doctor, and he said, isolate yourself, go sleep in a different bedroom, don't go outside, all that kind of stuff. And then 3 days later, he called again and said, we have reason to believe that your body is most likely shedding the virus, but that you're not. That you're not contagious, which is something that, that happens. So he wasn't actually reinfected, but he did still return a positive COVID test, even though he was not infectious.
But everybody is okay now.
Everyone is okay now. Yes, and we didn't pass it along to anyone as far as we knew. We were very careful. But it was hard to say. In the very beginning, we coronavirus had kind of been chasing us around the world. We were on the Diamond Princess in Japan playing a show on January 12th. And then we were, had said goodbye and hugging our new friends we met on the ship on that day. And then we flew away to Mexico. And on January 19th was when the first big outbreak came on that Princess cruise ship. So literally since January, it was kind of chasing us around the world. We were on another cruise just around, I want to say March 10th. In South America, and 3 days after we got off the ship, there was a major COVID outbreak, and 14 people died. So we were just felt lucky to have not been stuck at sea or stuck somewhere else traveling. We just made it home to New York City, where we live, and the next day is when we came down with symptoms.
You've been performing all over the world. Obviously, you, like everybody else, I mean, because I'm on your list, and I see that you have concerts set up, and then they get postponed. I'm not going to say canceled. They get postponed. How tough has it been to live with basically not being able to perform, although you have found a way like some other artists, which is you're doing some things online and people can join you? It's not the same as being with you, but people can join you online for some of these shows.
Yeah, we played a series of maybe 14 virtual concerts over the first 3 months of quarantine. And we were lucky enough, mid-July, our live shows kind of have started to pick back up. And we've been in Maine, up in Ogunquit, Maine, you know, which is one of the places in the country that's leading in reduced amounts of COVID cases. So we feel lucky to be in this part of the country that's quasi operating, and people are being taking everything very seriously here. So we've been playing to a room that's less than half capacity, about 40%, and we have an audience of about 50 people. Twice a week, we do a show indoors and outdoors, and we're here through October 1st, and then we go out to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and do the same sort of thing through the middle of November. So it's definitely a different sensation to play virtually, but we were able to make it happen. And although our audience numbers are reduced, I feel much happier performing in front of real live people.
Yeah, I imagine that's true. And I also, while I have you, I've got to talk about the album. Look, I go back to your very first album, right? Which was The Voice of Christmas. I think that was your first one.
It was.
Yeah, in which you sing Hallelujah. And I was, to be honest, I was going to play that. I know the last time I interviewed you years ago, I used a track of Hallelujah because you do one of the most gorgeous versions of that Leonard Cohen song ever recorded. But I want to talk about, and the reason we opened up with what we did and we'll go out playing something different, is because you have another new CD that's out there, new music called Tracing Dreams. And talk about that, how you got that done in the course of all this craziness going on. But talk about Chasing Dreams.
Yes, this is definitely not maybe the most idyllic year to release an album and a book, but life happens the way it happens, and it is what it is. A couple of years ago, I went to James, and we were kind of at a crossroads of where we were growing as a musical duo, and I was on a plane from somewhere and wrote out this big, long list, and I called it One More Push, and I wanted that whole experience of recording a full-length feature album with an orchestra, with a big-time producer. So we gathered the funds through crowdfunding, through all of our fans, which we were so grateful for, and we went to Belgium 2 years ago and recorded the album and then recorded all the orchestra parts with the Budapest Art Orchestra. And finally, it was released. Our management was kind of sitting on a tour that we were supposed to have coming up this fall for us to release the album. It's always better to release an album when you're on tour. But that, of course, was waylaid by the pandemic. So we just went ahead and released it anyway. And we're so glad we did. We got a lot of critical reception, and we're named Best Unsigned Artist by Music Connection magazine in North America. So we were just very pleased with that whole process, and are very proud of the work, and can't wait to record another one.
Yeah, well, it is beautiful music, and of course, people can get the CD, but they can also download it, that kind of thing, as we all do these days. But I have to ask you, you recorded Perfect Symphony, and that includes Shoshana Bean, which at a minimum people should know from Wicked. But that being said, did you get together with her? Did she do her track separately? How did you make that happen?
We met performing together on a private cruise, RSVP Vacations, a couple of years ago, and James played cello for her. She was singing This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. And we got to know each other then, and I've been looking for a female to partner with, and I've just always adored her. Her vocal talents are insane. There's this sort of ship messaging system where you can message different passengers with your phone, and I just sent her a message on there, and I said, hey, how would you feel about recording a duet with this? And she said, sure, that sounds great. So we made it happen, and she was in L.A. at the time where she recorded her vocals, and we were in Belgium recording our parts. But, you know, in these days with technology, you can kind of do anything you want.
Yeah, well, that's true. And the songs you include, We Played a Million Dreams, we're going to play something else, but you've got Vincent, you've got Somewhere Only We Know. You know, I've never recorded an album of songs. I mean, what do you do? Do you sit down with the world of music at your feet and say, what do you want to do? Or did you say, you know, hey, let's go with Chasing Dreams and what fits a theme here? How do you craft the ultimate songs that get on this CD?
Well, we flew out to Belgium about a year before we went to the studio and met with the producer, and yes, pulled out a whole laundry list of songs and kind of went through things by process of elimination. And a lot of it has to do with what our capabilities are. So I'm a classical singer, and I can't riff like Mariah Carey or Shoshana Bean. There's only certain things I can do. So that limits me a lot. But our producer, his name's Patrick Hamilton, who's a wonderful composer and has produced many albums for Catherine Jenkins, who's kind of like the Andrea Bocelli of the UK. She's a huge star in Europe. And Alfie Bo and David Garrett. And he knows about content and about how to create an album that has an arc. And he said you should include one song from a movie soundtrack and a couple songs should be in foreign languages. And he kind of gave us the formula of what to follow. And I think the best advice that he said is, he said you should never record the album with a record label in mind. You shouldn't do this to please anyone else but yourselves and be as true to who you are as artists. And I really feel like he captured that in our sound.
So what's so important is that in this year, when nobody seems to be able to do anything, Brandon James puts out a new CD along with James Clark. Brandon puts out a new book, The Story of Your Life. You paid a price. That was supposed to come out, I think, in May, because we were going to talk about it back then, and then all heck broke loose. But now here you are with the new book, the new CD. So tell us what's coming up for Brandon and James, because it's a partnership now in that way on stage. Where can people go to your website and keep up with all that you guys are going to do?
Yes, people can Google us. It's Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-E-N, and James, or just go to brandonjames.com, and they can see our schedule. We're here in Algonquin, Maine until October 1st, and then we're out in Santa Fe. We are hoping to go down to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico and stay for an extended period of time. I kind of secretly wanted to have an escape plan in case the election doesn't go the way that I would like it to go. And just kind of be out of sight, out of mind for a little bit. So we've elected to go down there. It just, you know, we're living kind of on a day-to-day basis, I would say, all of us, not knowing what might the future hold and where might COVID sort of strike next until we find a vaccine. But that is our hope. We did have a national tour postponed until next year. So next year we're going to be doing two national tours, God willing, that everything goes as planned. So we're touring performing arts centers all over the East Coast and the West Coast, the South and the Midwest. So it'll be a very busy year.
Just fantastic. And by the way, because we're doing this audio, I can't see you. What color is your hair today, Brandon?
My hair is, I paid a lot of money to make it gray on the top. And my my brown roots are growing out.
Okay.
So I need to touch up.
All right. I just ask him because, you know, on the internet, it's various colors depending on when we see you. So I wanted to get an update on that.
It is. Yeah. I did this platinum thing earlier this year in January, and I made a joke at the time and said, this is my hair color, my 2020 hair color. But little did I know it was actually going to be the color I'd be stuck with the whole year.
Exactly. I had it on my bingo card for 2020. So at least I got that right. My best and my love to you guys, go to BrandonJames.com or Brandon and James. You can order. Here's the good news. You can get the book or the CD and they'll sign it. You can get it autographed. So if you go through their site. So that is really wonderful. The CD Chasing Dreams, the book Lyrics of My Life, My Journey with Family, HIV and Reality TV. And I know in the reviews that I've written a review for it as well. But one of the reviews I've read, people just talk about how important your book is for people today and how brave and willing you are to share such personal experiences. So that's a gutsy thing to do, my friend. And I think everybody appreciates your candor and your openness. And I thank you. And I send all wishes for good health to you and to James.
Thank you, Paul. It really, really was a pleasure to speak with you again. And don't be a stranger. I hope I get to see you soon.
I hope so, too. We're going to go out playing another song from the new CD, Chasing Dreams. This one is called Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol. So here's a little bit of Brandon and James, Chasing Cars. Check out the book and the CD, BrandonJames.com or BrandonAndJames.com. Take care, Brandon. Here's the music.
If I lay here.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.